Well, good morning, KPCW listeners. My name is Mitch Elliott.
And I'm Amber Johnson. Welcome to the Community Campfire.
Amber, how are you doing this morning?
You know, I'm doing good. It's been a really great week. I heard somebody had a birthday earlier in the week. Is that true?
Yes.
Saw you limping into work on Monday morning. What's the story there?
Yeah, it was my birthday on Monday. I'm now 28 years old. I feel so old right now. I'm not. but went with a couple of my friends and we hiked Mount Olympus on Sunday.
That is a burner.
It was such a burner. Oh my gosh. It is like straight up. It was like a couple switchbacks and you get this false sense of security and then all of a sudden you're just going straight up the mountain.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of birthdays, we have one coming up as well, right?
Yeah, we have an awesome show for you today. Today is June 27th and next week on July 2nd is KPCW's 45th birthday.
That's right. And this week, we're taking it back to the very first story I ever produced for the Community Campfire. It's all about how the station got its start from day one. And there are some hilarious, heartwarming stories in there.
Oh, man. Well, I can't wait for that. We also have a lovely mix of programming that you know and love. This day in history, of course, fun facts, Coach Skinner's Skinny on Sports, and our hilarious Campfire Kids.
And to finish out the hour, we have a campfire music sesh from a world-famous ukulele player, Jake Shimabu Kuru.
Very nice. We're so excited for that one, too. But before we get into any of that, let's hear from Madeline real quick.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Community Campfire are their own and do not reflect the views, opinions, or official policies of KPCW, its management, staff, or affiliated organizations. The content of this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute an endorsement by KPCW of any opinions, products, or services discussed during the show.
Hi, it's Andrea,
and it's time for our Campfire Kids, our weekly dive into the lives of kiddos who have a lot to teach us and a lot to say. This week, I'll be talking with Arthur and Jack, 2 5-year-olds from McPolin, and I asked them what you would buy if you won the lottery. Their answers will surprise you.
The clock. The clock would tell me when it's time to wake up. I don't know when to wake up.
I have a clock at my house that wakes me up. It just in the morning is really annoying because then sun first comes up, it just goes like.
And unboxing gloves.
If you won the lottery, you get clock, a clock, and boxing gloves.
Trigger warning with the sound of that alarm clock waking you up. That is so wholesome and cute.
So wholesome, but man, I think you'll have a lot left over if you win the lottery if all you're buying is a clock.
Right? Good vibes and uppercuts for those kids. That's awesome. Well, Mitchell, we're bringing back for our first story, the very first community campfire story I did with your expert audio engineering help, I might add, to celebrate KPCW's 45th birthday.
Yep, that's right. You'll hear lots of familiar voices on this story, like one of our longest-running DJs, our founder, and more.
Plus, there are scrappy characters like Edna, the station's most temperamental employee, Bessie the Cow, our fundraising star, and some memorable bloopers.
Yeah. Good times. But really, it's all about what kept KPCW's community spirit going strong for 45 years and counting. Let's take a listen.
I'm Leslie Thatcher. Stay tuned and enjoy this ride down memory lane.
10 years ago, in that old Park City snow, there were mountains and moguls, but there were no radio. Then some folks that just seemed tireless dreamed up old Park City Wireless. Tom and Dan, Jay and Blair put that sucker on the air.
When that sucker first hit the airwaves on July 2nd, 1980, founder Blair Folner's first words were, "This is KPCW 91.9 FM, the station that Park City built." Blair went on to serve as general manager and news anchor for more than 25 years before passing away in 2022. Thanks to Blair's efforts and the contributions of countless supporters, the station has been broadcasting for 45 years. Hi, I'm Amber Johnson, and you're listening to KPCW's newest show, The Community Campfire. Gather around as we explore the story behind the name Community Campfire. We'll meet Edna, the station's most temperamental employee, and hear about Bessie the Cow, who played a key role in raising funds during the summer pledge drive. And of course, what would our history be without some good old-fashioned bloopers? Stay tuned, and thanks for listening. KPCW has hosted a vibrant cast of characters since the very beginning. Don Gomes was a staple at KPCW, contributing to everything from the morning show to directing programs over the span of 15 years.
Well, of course, I was around when KPCW signed on. I was privileged to be actually at the restaurant when Blair, in a tuxedo, signed us on, and then the Utah Phillips songs aired on the radio, and from there it just went, it went skyrocketing. Everybody listens to KPCW.
I dream of the Utah wall. I still hear the man.
And with that, KPCW's Community Campfire was born.
It was really an evolution of the fact that things that KPCW did, whether it was community forums and school board and the city council debate, it brought people together. And people knew that they had a stake in it. That was as much as anything, as people felt a sense of ownership of KPCW and a connection, whether it was just making sure they were informed. Park City probably has the most informed electorate that I've ever encountered. But that was the key thing, that people just felt it was theirs.
Former program director Jan Kovegnik-Williams said it was about more than just reporting the news. That community connection was the heart of KPCW.
That's where the origins of Community Campfire came, because unless you went to a city council meeting, which may have been a handful of people, or you knew the police chief, or you knew somebody, or went to the post office and traded some stories, that was Blair's goal, was to be the center point of things going on, whether it was big or little, or just, hey, here's a lost dog, or hey, I've got an apartment to rent. So he was the community, like we gather around like a community campfire, and you exchange stories.
KPCW's first home was affectionately referred to as the Broadcast Bunker in the Old War Veterans Memorial Building at 427 Main Street. During KPCW's 20th anniversary celebration, Blair shared the story behind the station's most temperamental employee.
Built mostly from donated equipment from the junk boxes of Salt Lake commercial radio stations, KPCW was put on the air for only $8,000. Most of the station's first equipment was so old it would have been state-of-the-art during the Korean War. Our first transmitter was one of the first FM transmitters ever built, vintage 1947. It was nicknamed Edna by our engineers, who, to save money, rode the rails hobo style from Portland, Oregon to build the station. Edna weighed almost a ton and was lowered by backhoe behind the old War Memorial Building on Main Street, where Harry O's is now. Unfortunately, being outside in the cold made Edna a little cranky, and the frequency she broadcast on would drift all over the dial. The joke was, you could tell the temperature in Park City by the spot on the dial KPCW signed on.
Back then, Jen said that Edna wasn't the only means of forecasting the weather.
So we were in a very tiny two-room studio, two stories up, no windows. Wow. If you had to check the weather, you had to put on a long song, run down two flights of stairs, look out the window and see if it was raining or snowing or sunny, and then run back up. That was the weather.
KPCW currently has a robust volunteer air force of 44 DJs who share weather and traffic reports while playing carefully curated, intentionally eclectic music. The tunes are as varied as the personalities behind the mic, but back in the early days, the standards for new recruits were pretty relaxed.
Hi, I'm Dan Wilcox, Program Director of Park City's volunteer radio station, KPCW. For the past several months, we've been actively recruiting and training volunteers. Remember, we put very few restrictions on what our on-air volunteers do with their time on the air, other than legal restrictions involving obscenity, editorialization, and libel.
As a DJ in the early days, it was like, bring whatever records you have, that's what you're playing, because we don't have much. So you just had to hope the record didn't get stuck when you weren't in the room. So I'm sure that happened.
Cue Mr. Bill. Bill Edwards proudly holds the title of one of KPCW's longest-running DJs, with an impressive 40-year tenure. In the station's early days, he tuned in while working as a lift operator at the ski resort. Fed up with the station's favored brand of country music, he marched into KPCW and volunteered his services to play rock and roll.
Yeah, I used to play some of the gospel music, and people would call me and say, "What in the world are you playing?" The one time I can remember, I put on Jesus Christ Superstar, the album. I went to the bathroom. I knew I had 17 minutes for it to play. So when I come back upstairs, the board is lit up because the album got stuck on Jesus Christ Quick, Jesus Christ Quick. I have no idea how long it was that way.
Mr. Bill wasn't the only one with live snafus. Don recalled the time that during the local news hour, the ski resorts had a designated time to report their snow conditions. One reporter, however, drove him crazy by always calling in late.
And so that person's not there, so I have to do something else, you know, play a cart or something. And finally, here's the phone ringing, and I pick it up, and it's this person, and I say, "Hold on." And then I very loudly said something that isn't acceptable on the radio, one of the seven deadly words, and the microphone was hot. Well, later that day, Blair got a call from someone posing as a representative of the FCC saying, "We understand that your morning person said such and such." And they did it convincing enough that he really thought that was happening. But
Mr. Bill initially worked the overnight shift, fulfilling two roles, entertaining the late-night audience and doubling as a rooster, a.k.a. wake-up call for the station's manager.
My first show was from 3 to 6 in the morning, and because I was bartending at the Alamo. I used to have to call Blair at 5:30 in the morning, leave the phone off the hook. He lived up at TMI. And he'd come in, take the phone, put it back on the hook.
So wait, why would you take it off the hook?
Because it would ring and make him get up. It was his alarm clock.
Speaking of Blair, here's the station's founder again from the 20th anniversary show, which aired in July 2000.
KPCW is one of the most successful community radio stations in the nation. It's been cited by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting as a model of excellence for what small-town public radio stations should be. It's the smallest station in the nation ever to qualify for funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and one of the smallest stations in the country ever to qualify for full membership in National Public Radio.
KPCW may no longer be the smallest NPR station in the nation, but it still stands out, literally, with its 2020 expansion above the liquor store on Sweet Alley. Thanks to investments in digital and streaming tech, KPCW has transformed into a multimedia outlet through radio, the daily newsletter, the local, its website, and social media. KPCW's staff has also expanded and now covers Summit and Wasatch counties, but it remains the same quirky public radio station with all its cherished traditions. For about 40-ish years, KPCW has teamed up with Cole Sport for the Back Alley Bash during the summer pledge drive. Don has some colorful memories of just how far or high they'd go to rally support.
The last day of the drive, they would put me in a cherry picker from Power Company. And then I'd be at the intersection there where Cole Sport is, up about 30 feet, and waving to people, and that would be the deal on the air. You know, Gomes can't come down until we make our goal, so call in now. And I think one year I took my guitar up and sang a song up there, but people would drive by and honk, and it was a great fun. But that was the ploy.
Fundraising for a public radio station can sometimes feel like mission impossible. But in the early days, KPCW pushed boundaries with outlandish ideas to connect with the community. One time, the station even enlisted the assistance of a helpful heifer.
And your mission starting August 12th is to bid on one of the special auction items we'll be offering, such as you could have Park City's most famous bovine as your guest. Bid in the Friday pledge auction for a cow for a day. And Bessie from Cows Park City will attend your next party or event in Western Summit County.
Even though KPCW ditched the auction as part of the summer pledge drive during COVID, one thing hasn't changed, the lost and found, and that one dog who's always more lost than found.
At one point, there was a dog named Gracie that seemed to appear on the lost and found about every 2 weeks. And
she was an escape artist.
Apparently, yeah. We actually, she didn't have a collar. We knew the name only because the person had posted, please find Gracie. And anyway, we finally said, listen, you know, you got to figure out a way to keep your dog home, or we may have to see about another home. But that worked out just fine.
In addition to the lost and found, public service announcements have always been an important part of KPCW. This PSA from the Park City Police Department still drives home the point today, even after all these years.
Do you remember when you moved to town? Remember why? Things slowed down a bit for you, right? Well, consider the pace again. The Park City Police Department wants you to slow down in your car. Are you in a hurry? Late? Sorry. Don't make it everyone else's problem. Slow down. Enjoy the town. This slow-paced message from the Park City Police Department.
There was this vision that Blair had that maybe some of us didn't have. Like, I didn't anticipate Park City blowing up and growing as fast as it did, but he had this vision and it happened. Susan and Blair made this thing happen, and Park City grew and KPCW grew like this big twisty combination of love and giving.
KPCW stands strong today, fueled by the vision and dedication of generous supporters who paved the way while giving new generations a voice. The Community Campfire is more than just a podcast. It's a celebration of our shared past, present, and future, bringing us together through the power of music and storytelling.
And things grow so fast and rapidly that you don't think those things exist anymore, but in Park City, which will to me always be that tight little core of Park City, that exists. It happens elsewhere around the country, but as Park City grew and exploded, I don't think the heart ever changed. It's still there. The great part is that hopefully it will expand to those who moved into the 90s and those who moved into the, you know, at the beginning of the 2000s, and even somebody who has moved to Park City last week still has their own, I'm going to fit in, how do I fit in and make Park City my home and where my heart lives.
Don has many fond memories of his time at KPCW and is still remembered for one thing in particular.
My sign-off was, remember, dreamers, nothing that is need be just because it was. And I would encounter people in the veggie section of the grocery store. Don, nothing that should be. I couldn't quite get it right, but that was my sign-off. And it was...
What does it mean?
Well, it means change happens, and, you know, you can be part of it as a dreamer.
KPCW has seen many changes since it first went on the air 45 years ago, but its dedication to preserving the warmth and connection of the community campfire remains as strong as ever.
In those early days, I think this attitude still prevails, and that's, you know, we've got a chance to do something really special, and let's make it happen. Let's dig in and work at it. So it wasn't just a, you know, a community sandbox. It was the community campfire. You had the opportunity to really contribute in so many ways, and that was always special.
You're listening to KPCW, 91.9 FM, the station that Park City built.
Money, 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 money. It's Andrea. I'm back with Campfire Kids, Arthur and Jack, and they're still talking about money.
How do you make money when you're 5 3/4?
Well,
make money for Transformers.
Mostly, you just get money, and then
You just like put in your piggy bank and never do something with it.
Well, I usually get chores to get money. Then I put it in my like bottle bank. So like I have a bottle that's a bank and you can put coins in it. And I just saved all of my coins for just like stuff.
I think this might be crazy, but did you know that kids can also get bank accounts?
Somebody in this class right now has a bank account.
Really? You think it might be crazy? Why?
But just because mostly grown-ups only have bank accounts.
Well, it looks like I have a new broker on my hands here.
You know, I got a lot of financial advice from five-year-olds. I'm taking notes here from those two. That's great.
Yeah, they seem very wise. Good at saving, for sure. So next week, we won't have a show for the community campfire because it's the 4th of July.
That's right, Mitchell. And I am KPCW's community engagement manager, and we're really excited because we're bringing some serious fun to the Park City Parade. We're stepping it up with a fully decked out float, thanks to a trailer generously donated to us by Slopeworks. So the theme is going to be KPCW's beloved lost and found, Mitchell.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be great. And you've seen us tie-dyeing and making signs and fun things all this week. Our staff and volunteers will be dressing up as actual lost and found items. Mitch, if you had to guess, what are some of the wildest or most creative costumes you think we'll see out there?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, there's always dogs that are on the lost and found.
There'll probably be some dogs.
I'm gonna expect some dogs. I know there's been a few chickens, like roosters, kind of roaming around parts. So maybe we'll see one of those. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to being surprised. So and if you'd like to join us on the 4th, please let us know. We'd love to have you as well.
And for our listeners in Wasatch County, I will actually be repping KPCW and highlighting the Heber Valley's fun festivities on the 4th. That includes, I'll be helping with the Midway Booster's famous pancake breakfast. And Mitch, you could say that my morning will start with a bang.
What do you mean with a bang? Do tell.
Well, I am going to be at the summit of Memorial Hill at dawn when that beloved or love to hate it cannon is fired and it wakes up the whole valley and marks the official start of the 4th of July.
I mean, I have to know, like, when you first moved out there, did you know that the cannon was going to shoot off?
Absolutely. There was no forewarning. But also, when we first moved there, nobody told me that the Memorial Hill gets set on fire every year by the fireworks. I was freaking out because there's fires raging all around. Fire crews are just sitting there, just watching it carefully, and all my neighbors are cheering and clapping, and that's just tradition.
You're like, I'm in Crazyville right
now. Exactly. We set Memorial Hill on fire. So again, we're starting it off with 6 a.m. on 4th of July in Midway. It'll be great.
Yeah, sounds like a beautiful way to start the day if you enjoy being ambushed by patriotism at 6 a.m.
Amen to that, Mitchell.
Well, in other news, we like to do some uplifting stories here, and the petroglyphs in Utah are being preserved in a really unique and cool way. Drone pilot Kevin Wellard is using aerial photography to help protect Utah's ancient petroglyphs. By capturing detailed images from above, he's making it easier to document and preserve and raise awareness about these really irreplaceable cultural treasures.
That's really cool. Is there a place that this is being displayed or saved? You know, does he have a website or something?
I believe it's kevinwellard.com, and you can see the catalog of all of his work, and he sells prints and stuff, I believe, too.
That's cool. It brings new meaning to leave no trace. No footprints, just flyovers.
Yeah. And hopefully we hear some more good news here from Coach Skinner with this week's Skinny on Sports. Take it away, Bill.
All right. Good morning, Mitch and Amber. We've got lots to get into today as we head into this 4th of July week. Oakley is going to be the place to be this weekend, or actually over the next 10 days or so. Starting today is that very popular Oakley pickleball tournament that runs today and tomorrow. We also have the Oakley Rodeo that kicks off on Wednesday, July 2nd. It's going to run nightly all the way through Saturday, July 5th. And they also have Extreme Bulls Tour coming their way. That's going to be on Monday, July 7th. Looking forward to all of that. We got Soldier Hollow hosting another big mountain biking event this weekend. Soldier Hollow Bike Fest is June 27th through 29th. That is an annual mountain bike race with pro, junior, and masters divisions. If you want to go check that out, lots of great viewing there. And, of course, the biggest event in the area is getting underway. That's right. An orthopedic's dream is descending upon Salt Lake City this weekend with the Summer X Games. That starts today, the 27th, going through the 29th, that Sunday at the Utah State Fairgrounds. They'll be teaching our kids all the things they should never, ever try. Parents love that. Competition does include various events in skateboard, BMX, and motocross. You can catch it all on ESPN2 and ABC if you're looking to do that. Catch all the schedules as well online. Well, the NBA draft, it wrapped up last night. Woo. The Jazz had an interesting draft. At number 5, they picked Ace Bailey, a guy who said he just didn't want to play for the Jazz. But his talent is so undeniable, they picked him anyway. He has the highest potential to be the league's leading scorer at some point, but he also has the highest potential to be the league's biggest knucklehead, too. So maybe he's a great trade asset. We'll see how that one plays out. They also made a great trade with Washington up to number 18. They took a guy, Walter Clayton Jr. of the national champion Florida Gators. I think this guy's just a winner, and the Jazz did make a great pick there. I'm jealous of that one.
Yep. I know, better than your Rockets pick, right? Oh, wait.
They didn't have one.
Hey, the Rockets, Well, glad you brought that up, because the Rockets traded away their number 10 pick when they picked up some guy named Kevin Durant, you know? So, championship!
We'll see about that, and I do want to make one comment, because I am a big Jazz fan. And even though Ace Bailey said that he didn't want to play for the Jazz, I'm super excited for him to be there. I think that it's a high potential swing, and I like seeing that they're doing that. You know, it's done. We're done playing safe. Time to go and do something and try and make something happen. Right?
There we go. Yeah. So we'll see how that one plays out. We also got one more bit of news out of the draft: the Russian kid out of BYU. Yegor Demin, he shot up the draft boards late in the process and ended up going number 8 overall to Brooklyn. This was one of the more controversial picks of the night because he just went way earlier than the consensus pick of where he should have gone. So one last thing, we got tennis. Wimbledon starts on Monday. It's going to run all the way to July 13th. That's always one of my favorite summer events, breakfast with Wimbledon. That's what I'll be having for the next 2 weeks. It'll be tough to beat this year's French Open, especially that epic final between Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner. That was amazing. Yeah. So anyway, that is your Skinny on Sports for this week. I'm Coach Skinner, and as we ramp up the summer heat, famed weatherman Yogi Berra reminds us that it ain't the heat, it's the humility.
Andrea here, back with Campfire Kids, Arthur and Jack, five-year-olds who really, really loved talking about money. And not just their own money, other people's money.
Okay.
He's in this class right now.
I'm going to ask Isaac about his bank account. How much money does Isaac have in his bank account, do we know?
He says, like, $200.
Wow. Cool.
I have $1,000 that I've saved up, and I have a dollar bank that...
Do you have $1,000? Can I borrow some money?
I've saved up money since I was two. I have $1,000 in my coin bank.
I think you could afford boxing gloves and an alarm clock. What do you think?
And the car.
This is Claire Wiley, and I am so excited right now to introduce to you Jake Shimabukuro and Jackson Waldhoff. Thank you for coming.
Aloha, Claire. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Well, we are so excited to have you here. So welcome, and as I understand, this is your first time in Park City.
Yeah, first time, and it's beautiful here. We're having such a great time. The Egyptian Theater, as you know, is just such an amazing venue. I mean, we had a wonderful time last night. You know, the whole community came out. We even had a lot of ukulele players that came out to the show.
Oh, no way.
And they brought their ukuleles, you know, to have them signed after and all that. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful time. And it was an honor to be there. And to be there for 3 nights, I mean, that's, you know, such a privilege. And so we're just so, so grateful.
So I want to first get to know you a little bit better, okay? We're going to turn back the clock a little bit here. So when did you first discover that you had this affinity for this instrument, the ukulele? As it's, a lot of us say ukulele, but it's ukulele, right?
Yeah, that's the way I was taught to say it, you know, growing up in Hawaii, ukulele. And my mom, she played. So when I was about 4 years old, she sat me down, taught me a few chords, and I just fell in love with it. And it's been my passion, you know, ever since. So, you know, and I just, it's such a, the ukulele is such a big part of, you know, the culture in Hawaii. And so we all learned it in elementary school, and it was just, I mean, you'd see it everywhere, you know, and you'd hear it everywhere growing up in the islands. So, but yeah, and I just, I always tell people that I love sharing that instrument with people because it's so joyous. And one of the best things about being a touring ukulele player is that audiences all over the world, you know, have such low expectations.
Oh my gosh. Well, your reputation is starting to precede you. So no. Now I think the expectations are getting pretty high because you have made quite a name for yourself. What performance would you say it was that maybe put you on the music map or jump-started your career? Can you remember back to when it was like, oh, this has really put me into this realm of this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been passionate about it, but I never really had the confidence, you know, to be a professional musician. But I knew that it was something that I'd always want to do. You know, I would keep up with it, and I just love learning more and more about music. So, but I think for me, what was the catalyst, or I guess the one event that I can clearly think of that is the reason I'm here today, is because back in 2005 or 2006, that's when YouTube just started out, and someone had posted a video clip of me performing a song by George Harrison, is While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And I happened to be in New York, and I was in Central Park, that's where we did the interview, and someone had posted this on YouTube, and it went viral. It was one of the first viral videos, and that's really what started, you know, all of this today. So I always tell people that, you know, at every show I always say, if you're one of those individuals that saw this video and sent it to a friend or shared it, I sincerely thank you, because it's the reason I'm standing on this stage.
It's kind of the catalyst to your career, but you definitely, like I said, have built up quite this reputation. You have been called the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele, which is high praise, I will say.
Oh,
I'm
goodness.
A huge Jimi Hendrix fan, but world wide people know how gifted you are and how wonderful it is to come hear you play. We have Jake Shimabukuro and Jackson Waldhoff here, who are going to be playing for us live in the studio now. So Jake and Jackson, take it away. What are we going to hear? What's the name of the song? Kula Blues, off his new record. Here we go. Thank you. Amazing. Oh my gosh. That is so incredible. And we were just talking a few moments about Jake's physicality. And to watch you play is really something. It's very phenomenal to see your whole body get into it and the joy it kind of exudes from you. And here's a question that I do love to ask a lot of the musicians that come in here, because I know for my life, it was, I still hearken back to my first concert and what it felt like and what it meant like to me. So what concert did you attend any time in your life that you can still kind of vividly pull up in your mind's eye and that maybe either spoke to you or even changed something in your career?
Oh, yeah. You want to go first?
I can't recall anything right now.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, no, your mind's going blank. It's live radio. It's tough sometimes, I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many, like, for me that I remember. And I guess one of the first ones that the first concert experience that really impacted me was when I was a teenager, and I had the opportunity to go and see my my ukulele hero perform at the time. And his name was Ota-san. And he was just this, I grew up listening to his music, you know, he was just such a virtuoso on the instrument and recorded so many albums. So I grew up listening to his, you know, his albums. I mean, today he's almost 90 years old today,
oh,
but he's
gosh.
Still, you know, he's just been such an inspiration. But Ota-san was performing in Waikiki, and I got to go to see him play live for the very first time. And so my friend who took me, you know, he was much older, so I called him uncle, and then so uncle would bring me. He knew Ota-san personally, so he brought me. We got tickets. We sat down. We watched the first half, and I was just mesmerized, you know, hanging on to every note and just watching his every movement, right? Everything he was doing with his chords and his plucking hands, and then during the intermission, he took me up to go meet Ota-san. And I got to go up there, I got to shake his hand, and he told him, oh yeah, this is Jake, you know, he's a ukulele player, he's an up-and-coming, you know, ukulele player and stuff, and you know, you're his hero. So he's like, whoa. So he looks at me, he goes, oh, you like the ukulele, huh? Yeah. So I said, oh yeah, I listen to all your albums, and you know, and I'm trying to watch your fingers because I'm just wondering how you do all those things. So he goes, oh, why don't you sit closer so you can see my hands? I said, really? So he tells his friend, one of the security guys over there, he goes, bring a chair up here on the stage.
Oh my gosh.
He had the security guard bring a chair, put it down, you know, to the left of him. And he said, here, you can sit here for the whole second half. So I got to sit on stage. And you know, this is a concert. So people must be like, why is that little boy sitting up there on stage next to Ota-san? But I got to sit there for the whole second half, and I got to watch his hands, his fingers, all his different techniques. Every time he would do something new, he would look at me, he goes, here, watch this. And he would show me, you know, while he's doing the concert. And I tell you, that was life-changing.
Oh, wow.
So all the nuances that I thought he was doing, like little things that I thought he was doing this with his thumb, he was actually doing it with his index finger. And then when I would, like, certain tremolo things, I thought, you know, in my mind when I would listen to the records, I thought he was doing it one way, but then when I got to see up close what he was doing, I realized, oh no, he's doing it completely different. So that was just an unbelievable experience.
What a wonderful day it has been. Just absolutely gorgeous out there. And it's exciting here at our studios at KPCW. We're right here on Sweet Alley. If you drive by, you're going to see some musicians in the window, because we have live music happening right now from Jake Shimabukuro and Jackson Waldhoff. And they are playing the ukulele and the bass here in our studio. And Jake and Jackson are playing at the Egyptian Theater both tonight and tomorrow. If you want to check them out, it is fantastic to have them in the studio. And this song is going to be called what, Jake?
Well, this is a song that honors the last king of Hawaii, who is King David Kalakaua. He was a ambassador of the arts and music. And it's a song entitled Kavika, which means David in Hawaiian. And I guess I always tell people that, you know, this song was first recorded by a group called the Sunday Manoa, and it had this iconic ukulele intro that was recorded by the late Peter Moon. And I tell people that this is the ukulele equivalent to guitar players who wanted to learn the intro to Stairway to Heaven. So here's our interpretation of Kavika.
Amazing. Here we go.
Well, that's the end of the Community Campfire for today. If you missed it, subscribe to the Community Campfire podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yep. And be sure to follow at KPCW Radio and at the Community Campfire on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
The Community Campfire is the Wasatch Back Community Show. So if you have a great campfire story idea, please, please, please send us an email at campfire@kpcw.org.
And also send us your ideas for a band to feature for a future show. Amber, do you have any final fun facts to end today's show today?
I don't know if they're fun, but this is a good one. This is for anyone planning a trip to the Big Apple this summer. According to the New York Post, there's a new tour in town. A quirky rat whisperer is guiding visitors through the city's most rat-infested spots, sharing wretch-worthy facts about the critter's habits. We'll call it, Mitch, a mashup of sanitation history lessons and urban wildlife safari.
I wonder if the host there has a rat underneath his hat there.
Oh my gosh, creepy, right?
Yeah, New York, even where the rats have a side hustle there.
That was bad.
You've been listening to KPCW Park City at 91.7, 88.1, and 91.9 FM.